John chapter number 13. John chapter 13, verse number 35. John chapter 13, verse number 35. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. John chapter 13, we're reading from the King James Bible, verse number 35. Let's read together in unison, shall we? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I'm going to talk this morning about the love of God and loving others. So let's pray. Father, again, thank you for loving us, for being such a wonderful God. And Lord, we wouldn't know what love is unless you would show us. And Lord, we have the love of Christ in our hearts, as the Bible says, at salvation. I just thank you, dear Jesus, for loving us enough to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And Lord, help us to follow your example, to give our life as a sacrifice for others and loving you back. I pray this will be a help. Help us to love people. Help us to love you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John chapter number 13. Verse number 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You can give the gospel to people and not obey that verse there. You can have gospel tracts and not obey that verse. You can preach on a street corner and not obey that verse. You can knock on doors and show people from your New Testament how to go to heaven when they die. You can come to church every single service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and not obey that verse. You can tithe. You can give 10% or above your offering, above what God's blessed you with as an income, and still not obey that verse. And it seems, especially in the country that we live in today, and even in religious circles, and yea, even in Baptist churches, that somehow we think because we do something or we sacrifice or we give, it like qualifies. It like it's the cream on the top, and we want to look and we want to say, look what I'm doing. Or look what I have accomplished, or look what I have done. And the truth of the matter is, as Jesus said, you've passed over the love of God and of judgment. And so it's easy for those of us who come to church all the time, and it's easy for us who read the Bible all the time, to be lulled into sort of a machine, or sort of a... stepping in motion and sort of like doing everything in clockwork and sort of all just we have to do this because it is our duty to do, which is nothing wrong with duty. Don't misunderstand me. But you can do all those things and not love God. You can do all those things and not love people. There's just something about the individual that yearns for and craves love, and that's what's missing in our society today. People don't know what love is. Ecclesiastes 9 says very clear, man does not know what love is. You don't know it. Apart from God and apart from the Word of God, you and I would not know what love is. Amen. The Bible is very clear. The Bible says that God is love, and He's called the God of love. And until and unless a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and is born again, and ask Jesus Christ to save their soul from hell, they will not and cannot ever experience the love of God. They will not know the love of God. Those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the opportunity to understand and to know the love of God. Of course, at salvation, we have the love of God available to us, and that's why we're saved, amen, because of the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, all wrapped up in one, amen. And so, at salvation, we understood how much God loved us. We love Him because He first loved us, the Bible says. The only reason you and I love God is because he first loved us. Not because we're good enough, or because we're spiritual enough, or because we're smart enough. It's because God first loved us. Well, verse number 35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And I want to tell you, I'll tell you how much I want to appreciate the folks that come to this church that love each other. Because it is a joy to come to church where people love each other. It is a joy to come to church where people work hand in hand together and help one another and encourage one another. Sometimes you may have been involved in another church somewhere or grew up in another church somewhere where people, they gossip, where people criticize one another, where people look down at other people. I'm thankful that we don't have that kind of a church, amen. I'm thankful that we can invite anybody who wants to come to this church and they feel comfortable being here, amen. I hope to God we never get to the point where we get our noses so big or so long that we look down our noses at people, amen. I hope we don't get so rich or so big that we don't try to help people anymore, amen. We don't try to bring poor people, amen, or feed people or clothe people or encourage people, amen. I'm thankful that we come to a church where people love God and people love people. I'm telling you, that's the real reason I believe that God has blessed our church, is because people know they may not agree with us. They may not even like us. But they know that we love one another, amen. And you have no idea, because people talk, ladies and gentlemen. People in the neighborhood, people in the city, your acquaintances and your fellow co-workers and your neighbors and your relatives, they talk. And again, they may not like us. They may not agree with what we preach. They may not agree with where we stand on some issues. But I'm telling you, my Bible teaches in the Song of Solomon that heaven is paved with love. We all know that the streets are gold, amen. And that they're transparent gold that you can see through them. And everything is gold and everything is precious stones. But what we forget is really, my Bible says it's paved with love. That God drew us with the cords of love. And so many times, if we are not careful that we do this, sometimes we can do it mechanical, like robotic, and not have the compassion that we ought to have for people. Hey, let me tell you something. When you mess up, admit that you messed up, amen? When you have a fault, just the Bible says confess your faults one to another, amen? There's nothing wrong with confessing you messed up or you made a mistake or that you sinned against somebody. Just say, look, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that, please forgive me. There's no shame in that, ladies and gentlemen. The shame and the harm is in our pride, we refuse to humble ourselves. The shame and the pride is when we think we're bigger and we're more important than somebody else, and we don't have to step down off our pedestal to somebody else's level. No, no. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Because you know what people need? They don't need people to know everything in the Bible. They need people to show them that they love them, amen? And people today don't understand what love is. They don't know what love is. Maybe they didn't grow up in a home that they were taught love. Maybe they were raised by grandmother or uncles or aunts or grandparents or a foster home. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe their homes weren't intact. Maybe their homes were filled with liquor and cussing and swearing and using God's name in vain. I don't know. But I know this much. People don't know how to love today. People don't know how to love people today. They're very short with people. They're mean to people. They hurt people. They purposely do things to get people riled up. I'm talking about in a mean way. I'm not talking about having fun and playing games like my kids think they do to me. Amen? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people really downright nasty to people. And you read the news reports, man, it's getting worse past being nasty. It's really evil, ladies and gentlemen. People are malicious today. And I'm not talking about, you know, stealing because they're hungry or robbing things so they can go to some store and sell it and hawk it somewhere so they get some money to pay their bills or feed their family. I'm talking about people are killing people, man, for no reason, only because of the color of their skin or because they think they deserve to have that money. And it's just getting bad, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And the only hope that we as a nation or our community has is the love of Jesus Christ. You can try to tell people how smart you are and how what you think about all the politics in the world, or what you think your better ideas are, and how you think how marriage ought to be run, or children ought to be trained. And you can give them all the advice and counsel you want, but unless it's going to be good, unless they have the love of Jesus Christ from the Word of God, it won't amount to hill beans. It don't matter. Because what people need today and they're searching for is love. And when so many times, you know, the devil tries to inhibit us from trying to reach people because we say, well, I'm not that good of a Christian, you know, what I'm going to say. They know how I've messed up. They know what I'm going through right now. You know what they need? They need to know that you love them. Amen. And they need to know that you love God. Amen. And if you can combine the love of God and show them and teach them and tell them how much God loves them, that'll far surpass all the inequalities in your life. That'll far surpass all the shortcomings in your life. You know, so many people think, you know, well, I can't go to that church because, man, oh, there's no way that roof will fall on me. You know, this, as we sang this morning, we're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Amen. And he said, well, those people are so good over there, and so righteous and so holy and so godly. Blessed be God. If you knew one-tenth of the truth, you never walk in these churches because you realize how wicked we really are. Amen. We're just sinners saved by grace, ladies and gentlemen. We're no better than anybody else. It's just God's been good to us. Amen. And we ought to be good to others. Take your Bible, please turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, verse number 13. John 15, verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man come to church all the time. No, it doesn't say that. No, it doesn't say that. Greater love hath no man than this. Than do what? Lay down his life for his friends. I mean, doing exactly what Jesus did. Being a lamb led to the slaughter. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Giving himself a sacrifice. And if we obey Romans 12, 1 and 2 as a living sacrifice, that'll come through, ladies and gentlemen. Again, let me repeat. They may not like everything that we stand for. They may not even believe it. But they're not going to be able to say that we don't love people. That we don't love God. The way we view God from the King James Bible. Even our enemies can be at peace with us, the Bible says, if we're right. Just because we're at peace doesn't mean you have to agree. But you can be at peace with people if you're living right. You don't have to argue with everybody you come in contact with. You don't have to get in disagreements and heated disagreements, and people are easily ticked off today. Their emotions get the better of them. There's something wrong with you. And there's something wrong with your spirit and your attitude when you can't talk to people in a rational tone of voice, say, about disagreements and doctrinal disagreements and political disagreements and religious disagreements. If you love people. Somebody told Abraham Lincoln one time, I know I'm going to misquote this. He said, well, they hate you or they're your enemy. He says, the only enemies I have are the people who've never met me. That's a pretty interesting statement, don't you think? Because he tried to win people to his cause, right or wrong. And a lot of times we look at people, they're our enemy, and they hate us, and we're their enemy, and we don't like them. Well, why don't you decide to love everybody? Amen. Why don't you decide to be like God, like Jesus Christ? And we're not God, obviously. But my Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes. That means we can love our next door neighbor, amen? Amen. We can love, listen to me good, people that are unlovable at times. We have the ability, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to love people. Take a Bible, turn to John chapter number 5, please. John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. verse number 39. John chapter number 4. I'm sorry, John chapter number 5. And verse number 36. John 5, verse number 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time. That's to the charismatics and Pentecostals who believe they can hear God's voice, and they're a bunch of liars, fake phonies, and frauds. Nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We have the word of God, that's all we need, amen. Verse number 40. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. That's quite a statement for Jesus to make. He's talking to the Pharisees, talking to his enemies. And Jesus, being God, he knows what's in everybody. The Bible's very clear. He made everybody. God knows what is in us, saved and lost. If you're lost and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, ladies and gentlemen, you do not know the love of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, ye have not the love of God in you. You may have learned some ripple effects of love from your parents, your grandparents, an aunt, an uncle, and someone who loved you. And you may be basing what you think love is on how other people have loved you or treated you. That is not necessarily the love of God. Because the love of God is unconditional. The love of God is a one-way street. Not that I'll love you if you love me. I'll love you whether you love me back or not. That is the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. I do not understand how people can ever disown their children. I don't understand how you can walk away from your own children. I don't care if they stab you in the back. I don't care if they let you down. I don't care if they hurt you. Sure, it's going to be painful. Sure, your heart's going to break. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. But if you had godly love, you'd never give up on your children. If you have godly love, you pray for those kids if they're backslidden or they're wayward or they're prodigal. You never give up on people, ladies and gentlemen. You may come to this church, you hear me hoot and holler and scream about some things. Listen, don't ever let those things cloud your mind about whether the preacher loves you or not, amen? I've got to preach against certain sins, amen? I've got to preach a holiness and a righteousness and a godliness that comes from a holy God and a holy book. That's one of my jobs, one of my duties. But the first thing, his banner over me is love. That's what my Bible says. My banner. That means before you can see me coming, you ought to know and be able to read. It's a banner of war or love. We don't know what banners are, but banners are like flags, amen? When somebody sees a ship or a plane, they got the stars and stripes on them, they know it's America, amen? They're looking for the flag. Are they friendly or are they an enemy? Are they a friend or a foe? Which one are they? You can tell them by their flag, amen? Well, guess what? Your banner and my banner ought to be the love of God, amen, that we love people. Let me tell you something. You listen to me good. Muslim people hate people. And the more fanatical they are, the more they hate people. Don't you believe this lie? It's a peaceful religion. You know what? You better get your dusted history books out and start reading what Islam's done for the last 1,200 years. You better get your history books out, dust them off, and find out what the popes have done and why they called them the Dark Ages for 1,000 years in Europe. That's not love. But God's people were the ones that were massacred. God's people were the ones that were tortured. God's people were the ones that were burned at the stake, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because they loved people. Even if they gave their lives, they didn't love their life to the end, or they loved God to the end. They love not their life until the end. Some of us love our life more than Jesus Christ. Some of us, we love our things more than Jesus Christ. Some of us, listen to me good, we like our ministry more than Jesus Christ. Some of us, listen to me good, we love our family more than Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's easy to preach against gold and silver. It's easy to preach about things of the world. But when you put anything or anyone above the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't understand the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. Sooner or later, you're going to compromise the truths of the Word of God to win favor with someone that you are dear to or love, so you don't try, so that you don't lose them. Well, you don't know the love of God. My job is not to win anybody when I discredit the love of God and the truth of God. I can't win anybody that way. I don't want to win anybody that way. I'm not going to change my principles and the doctrines of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God just to win somebody. Ain't going to happen. I'm winning them on false pretenses. Jesus said that they have not the love of God in them. So you have to understand there's some people that do not have the love of God in them. Take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, I mentioned, I believe, earlier that Romans says that the love of God is shed in our hearts at salvation. Romans is very clear about that. So at the point of salvation, we can have, and we do have, the love of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, watch this, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. All right, so at salvation, Romans says, we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We have now the book of love, the Word of God, the King James Bible, that can teach us how to love God back and how to love people. When you don't read this book on a daily basis, you don't know how to love God. And you do not know how to love people right. And you're going to love people in your own definition, in your own way, and you're going to do it wrong. Because the Bible has like guardrails of how far we ought to go in what you consider helping somebody. What the Bible has are guidelines on how far we ought to go to support or encourage or lift up somebody. We have to do it biblically according to the Word of God. So we are taught, we can be taught from God how to love people. So let's say you grew up somewhere where you didn't know how to love people. Maybe you're cold, maybe you're indifferent, maybe you're a criminal, maybe you're a murderer. Maybe you just didn't care about people in general. I don't know. Doesn't matter. At salvation, you're now a newborn babe in Christ. You can now grow by drinking the milk of the Word of God. You can grow and learn by eating the meat of the Word of God. And you can have a newfound love for God and for people that you never had before. Because now you have the God of love in your heart that you never had before. For instance, I grew up, I don't think there's any, from my perspective, I know I'm biased and prejudiced, but I've never seen a mother love any of her children like my mother loved us, she loved me. And so I consider myself very fortunate how I grew up in a home where my mother loved me and gave herself for me. That's Bible love. But you know what? Not until that I get saved that I understand godly love, amen? Because there's some people I didn't love. There's some people that mistreated me and I couldn't care for them and I didn't like them and there's no way I was going to love them. Even though I loved my mom and she loved me and I had that love. where I had that ripple effect of love, where I had those consequences of love that was taught and handed down all these generations and passed down to me. But I did not understand the love of God until I got saved. And I understood what Jesus did for me personally. And then it was incumbent upon me to love God back and love people back, even if people were unlovable. Now, that's hard to do if you're not right with God. The only way you can love unlovable people is to love God and realize how much God loved us when we were enemies of the cross. That's what the Bible says. We love Him because He first loved us. And the only reason we love Him because He loved us. So as Jesus said to us, He says we ought to love the way He loved us. Over and over He said that again. But we are taught of God to love one another. So if you see somebody that ticks you off or bothers you or rubs you the wrong way or gets under your skin, whatever adjective or phrase you want to use, you can love them anyway, man. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119 and verse 165. Psalm 119. How do I love people like that? Well, don't forget, 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says that we are taught of God. Taught of God. Psalm 119, verse 165. You ought to underline this, memorize it, put neon lights next to it, put stars there. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If that verse is true, and you know it to be true, there's nothing that can offend you if you love the Word of God. Absolutely nothing. So the reason people are easily offended, not just offended today, they get ticked off, you know, drop of a hat, man. You look at them the wrong way, you say the wrong word, and you disagree with them, and they just huff and puff as if they're going to blow the house down. I'm telling you, from the Word of God, the bottom line is, the reason is, they do not love the Word of God. I don't care what they say. My Bible says it's feigned love. It's fake. It's phony. They may say, oh, I love God. They may profess outwardly, oh, I love the Bible. They don't even know which scriptures to use. They don't even know what version to use. And they say, oh, I love the Bible. I love God. And you see that they're easily offended when you say something or show them something in the Bible or teach them something? No, no. They don't love the Word of God. Because my Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you didn't, all right, let's say you didn't like the special singing this morning. That's because you need a hearing checkup, amen? Well, you can say, you can sit there and say, well, they shouldn't have sung that song in church, but you know what? I love them anyway. Huh? So, you know, I don't like the way the preacher said that or preached that sermon this morning. He was kind of nasty or mean or hard, too hard this morning. But somewhere in there, y'all say, you know what? I love them anyway. Huh? If you find somebody you disagree with, I don't care if you're related to them or not, or friends with them or not, or acquaintances with them or not, or work with them, live in the same home. Now, I'm talking about everybody except mother-in-laws, because you can't just love mother-in-laws, okay? Just, I know. That takes an extra special something. I don't know. You can love people. You can love everybody, because it's a decision that you make. People don't want to love. They choose not to love because they've been hurt before. And because they've been hurt before, they clamp down, and they don't want to get hurt again. Well, Jesus was hurt too. Your sins and my sins nailed them to the cross. Right. And we've let God down too. But yet He loves us still. My Bible says, great peace have they that which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I don't care whether you like the preacher or not, you can still love people, amen? Right. And by the way, let me just, don't ever think because you don't dot all the I's or cross all the T's and do everything the way John Cleto says, that doesn't mean I don't love you. Don't ever think that. First of all, I'm here to help everybody I can. When you get to preach to 60, 80, 100 people on a Sunday, given Sunday, you know, I got to preach everything, all the counsel of the Word of God. Some people may like Sermon A and hate Sermon A and hate Sermon B, but some people may hate Sermon B but love Sermon A. I don't know who it is. My job is to preach everything. But I can tell you this much. If everybody loves the Word of God and everybody loves God, you'll enjoy it anyway, amen? You'll enjoy it anyway. So, my Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:11 that God is a God of love. And 1 John chapter 4 says that God is love. Jesus said to the Pharisees that ye have not the love of God in you in John chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that we are taught of God to love one another because we weren't used to it before we got saved. Psalm 119 tells us very clearly that this book is the reason and the source of how to teach the love of God to ourselves so that we can love other people properly. 1 John chapter number 5, please. 1 John chapter number 5. First John chapter number 5, verse number 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Watch this. When we love God and keep His commandments. All right, Jesus said in John chapter number 13, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So if you want to get the gospel out and for people to get saved and to know, hey, that place over there, those people over there, they love God. I wouldn't go there, but they really do love God. I mean, they care about people. They help people. It's a place where they let anybody come to that church. They pick up everybody. I'm sure there's some people in our neighborhood who wish that we didn't pick up everybody come to our church. Yeah, and I don't like the fact that people come outside our building and smoke out there and throw their cigarette butts out there. I don't like that either. And I don't like the fact that some people come off the bus, whether they're kids or teenagers or even some of the adults, and just cuss and swear and use God's name in vain out on the sidewalk. I don't like that either, to be quite honest with you. But I happen to love those people, amen. And I believe that God happens to love those people, amen. And they need the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. And if they don't get it from this place, please tell me, pray, tell me, where are they going to find it, ladies and gentlemen? If they don't find a group of people that loves them, regardless of where they came from, regardless of what sin they're in right now, and regardless what shape they're in right now, they may think of giving up all hope, where are they going to go? How in the world can any church kick out anybody from their organization or from their fellowship or from their meeting? How in the world can you help somebody by kicking them out? Because they're too embarrassed of somebody? They're too ashamed of somebody? And through the guise of church discipline, you vote somebody out? Churches doing that all across the country, voting people out of their congregation, voting people out of their membership, and voting people out of their church. Now, come to this church. You can sit here anytime you want, amen? Now, you're going to hear sermons against liquor. You'll hear sermons against the sodomites. You'll hear sermons against the socialist Marxists. But you're welcome here anytime you want, amen? It's the Word of God that will clean you out, not a man. I can't clean anybody out. It's the Word of God that will clean people out. And you need to get a Word of God. You need to get the Word of God, and you need to read it. And you need to memorize it. And you need to live it. Because that's what will clean you out, and that's what will teach you how to love God and how to love people back. Look what he said. Chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Well, next question. Did Jesus love God? He's God, isn't He? He loved the Father. The Father loved Him. Right? And He said at one point, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. That's what He said. He's God Almighty. The love that the Father has with the Son, and the Son with the Father, and the Holy Ghost, all three together, is unmatchable, ladies and gentlemen. But that's the love that you and I are supposed to share with other people. Well, when we love God, and when we love the children of God, and when we love God, it shows by the way we keep His commandments. Your proof of how much you love the children of God, your proof of how much you love God back, will be how much you desire to obey and keep this Word of God right here. Did you read it this week? Did you read it this morning? Just too busy? Was Fox and CNN more important than the Word of God? Did you read it yesterday? Did you read it Thursday, Friday, Monday? Is something else more important than the love book from heaven, the love letter from heaven, to teach you how to love people and how to love God? You will not know how to love your children properly unless you read this book, I'm telling you right now. You will not know how to love your parents properly unless you read this book. You will not know how to love unlovable people unless you read this book. This is why the world hates this book. They hate this book. Verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Pastor, I couldn't do that. There's no way I could do that today. You know, do you realize it's 2013 today, Pastor? Do you realize almost nobody is doing that, Pastor? Well, yeah, the Bible says the love of many shall wax cold because iniquity abounds.
Right.
Yeah, you're just wrapped up with the world, too.
Right.
That the Bible says in chapter 4, verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, and you know that by not keeping the commandments, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Chapter number 2, verse number 15. My Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, I don't care if it's a preacher, evangelist, Baptist, Catholic, saved, lost, I don't care what man you talk about. Watch what it says. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Boy, the world can be so alluring, can't it? The world can be so tempting, can't it? To draw our attention and our devotion away from the God that we ought to love and the people that we ought to love. Satan is really good. He's really slick at turning our attention away from God and others towards things that we love and the things of the world. Americans, they idolize, worship, and love their sports, don't they? It's a god to them. Americans idolize and worship their liquor today, don't they? Obviously, New York State idolized their gambling today, huh? Yeah. What the lottery couldn't do to destroy New York, the gambling industry will. As if you think they care about poor people who are addicted to gambling, and they throw their money out the window by scratching their ticket when they should have saved up and invested 5, 10, 20 years. They could have been well off if they obeyed the love letter from heaven. They're just addicted because they love money. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. And people love money because, I'm going to get to that in another sermon soon, the love of money is nothing but power and influence. The more money you have, the more influence and power and control you exert over people. That's why people love money. Not because you care about people, but because they can force things on people and force people to do things because of the leverage of money. But I got news for you. You can love people without having any money.
Right.
I got news for you this morning. You can love God without having any money.
Right.
That means you qualify for loving God.
Yeah.
That means you qualify for loving people. Amen. I don't care if you're in debt. I don't care if you're broke. I don't care if you're bankrupt. I don't care if you don't have a penny in your name. You can still love God and you can still love people. Amen.
Yeah.
They may look down at you. They may laugh at you. But you can still love God. And you can still love people, amen? You don't have to live in a fancy home and drive fancy cars and wear fancy clothes. Most of those people don't know the love of God, don't have the love of God in them. I'm telling you right now. They're in love with their money. 1 John chapter number 5. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Let me tell you something. You could dress right if you love God enough. Yeah. You just don't love God. You could give, and you could tithe, and you could sacrifice if you love God enough. It's not a burden. It's not burdensome. It's a joy when you're helping missionaries. When you're helping children and teenagers and adults come here on a bus or a van. It's a joy when we can pay the bills and the heating bills and keep the lights on and keep the doors open. It's a joy because God loveth a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Are His commandments grievous to you? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I believe if Hebrews were written today, it'd be as the manner of most is.
Right.
It's just too hard to get to church all the time. It's too hard to help. It's too hard to go soul winning. It's too hard to sacrifice. It's too hard to clean. It's too hard to do this. Not if you love God, it's not. It's a joy.
Amen.
I don't look at church like, I gotta go. I can't wait to go. I don't know about you, man. I know I hate hearing myself preach on, you know, when I listen back to it, but I love preaching, amen. I feel sorry for you people who got to listen to this, amen. I love preaching. I love going soul winning. Love it. I love when I can give somebody a gospel tract. I love when somebody allows me to open the Word of God and show them how to go to heaven. I enjoy that. It's not a burden to me. It's not grievous to me. I just wish I had more time to do it. I wish I didn't have as much constraints as I have right now. I wish I could do this full time, to be honest with you. One day soon, glory to God, amen. If God is willing, amen. Unless the Lord, if the Lord tarries or He doesn't take me home first. But I love this, do you? I love singing the songs, do you? I can't even hear you sing songs. I can hear you yelling at your kids, but I can't hear you singing the gospel songs. Yeah. I can hear you yelling at your wife. I can't hear you singing gospel songs. Let's close. John 14. John 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Two verses and I'll close. John 14. People are full of themselves today. Don't you believe when somebody says, first of all, when they say, I love God, a question mark always arises in my mind. Why do you have to tell somebody that you love God? It'll be well shown that you love God. Hello? Why do you have to advertise that you love God? It'll be shown by the proof of your love, the Bible says. People will hear about your love, the Bible says. Your love will be shown, the Bible says, if you love God and if you love the Word of God. John 14, verse number 23. John 14, verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Not he'll try, he will. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Which means, and by the way, there's other verses, obviously. You do realize I'm not even scratching the surface of the love of God today? But your love can increase, the Bible says, and your love can abound, the Bible says, and your love can be multiplied in ways that you can't imagine right now and you can't fathom right now. You may think, I can't love people, I can't love God, but if you just start reading the Word of God, the Bible says your love will increase, it'll be multiplied in ways that you can't even imagine right now. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You can't even think of it. You can't imagine it. But God loves you. All you got to do is love Him back. And that's not much to ask. Did He save your soul? Did He create you? Did He put life in you and breath in you? The least we can do is love God back, ladies and gentlemen. That's a decent thing to do. But He says, if a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him. And so you'll get a greater sense and a deeper understanding of God's love towards you when you start following Jesus and obeying the Word of God that you didn't have before. John 15, verse number 10. If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. So you can stay in the love of God by reading the love letter from heaven, amen. By doing your dead level best to obey this book. This book. It's hard to obey it when you haven't read it and don't know what's in it. It's hard to obey when some things rub you the wrong way in the Word of God. Great peace have they that love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you love God? Do you love people this morning? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' songs. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. I know you love God because I put you through that torturous two stanzas of the love of God. But let's love God, amen. Let's love people the way the Word of God says we ought to. We love Him because He first loved us. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, from the Word of God, how to love you and how to love others. Thank you, Lord, for these folks. Thank you for these dear people who make up our church, who not just come and give and prepare and clean and work and fix and maintain and go and preach and sing, but because they truly, dearly love people and they love you back. I thank you, Lord, we can come to a church where people love you. I thank you, Lord, for the family, God. Bless, I pray, this invitation. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, may they get to know the love of God today by trusting you today. And I pray for folks who are here this morning, maybe they've not been reading their Bibles the way they should have. They've not been praying the way they should have. Maybe they've fallen out of love. Maybe they've forgotten the first love. Help us to get right. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.